everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and as always, I will be your host for today's show. In this series of podcasts, we have our returning guest and author, Javier Sanchez-Lamelas, with me today. How are you, Javier?
Very well, thank you. Good morning, Miro.
Good morning to you too. And the second podcast that we'll be doing with Javier, we will be talking about Top Line Marketing, his own consultancy. But for those that have not listened to the first episode, which you absolutely should, it's great, packed full of a lot of insight into the world of marketing. Javier is the author of Marketing, the Heart and the Brain of Branding, and he is the founder and CEO of Top Line Marketing. Javier is also the former VP of marketing for the Coca-Cola company. So today he's here with us to share his expert advice on creating a marketing consultancy. My first question for you is, what sparked the idea of creating your own consultancy?
Somehow people ask for advice and coaching, and they are coming from many different backgrounds. So, you know, I found myself providing people with thoughts, a little bit of help on the strategic planning, introducing people to partners that I know, and then I got a phone call from a couple of friends that were also by chance doing exact same thing as me, just, you know, providing advice and coaching people that were in need of that sort of advice. So we decided to put that in a more professional framework. Actually, the book that you just mentioned, we thought it was a good idea to have it as the manual of the company. So we published the book with Lead Publishing, with you guys, and it was actually a very, I would say, maybe not original idea, but it was an interesting way for people to understand what we were after, what we wanted to do. I mean, publishing the manual of the company in a book format, it was something bit different than what other companies do. And so that is how the idea originated. It was not, if you're interested, it was not born in a dark room with strategic thinking and planning.
Right. And my next question is, you know, how long did this whole project take to launch? I mean, it's arguably the question that you hear the most when it comes to startups and, you know, entrepreneurs and people who just want to take you know, matters into their own hands. What was the time frame?
Time frame is about infinite. I don't think it is a question of timing. In fact, if I can give an advice to, well, I'm not in a place to give advices on this topic, but I'm learning myself. But just with my short experience on the business in which I am, you need to remove time from your head, and you need to drive yourself by something completely different, which is a bit of passion about what you are doing, enjoyment, and above all, making sure that the stuff that you do create value. If it does create value, then you can definitely exchange that for profit. If it does not create value, then you have a completely different problem. But if you have passion, if you're enjoying what you're doing and it does create value, then it's very easy.
Was starting your own marketing consultancy always the plan, or was it something that was born?
Well, first of all, it's not a marketing consultancy by itself. I mean, yeah, we provide advices, but we don't want our consultants. In fact, I've never in my entire life working in a consultancy business, and I've been 30 years in marketing. So to start with what we do first, what we do is provide a service that companies, many companies, cannot access to. Very, if you want, affordable price for the quality of the services that we provide. I mean, people cannot access to managers that have been working 30 years in multinational companies in several markets, and that is what we are. And besides that, what we bring with us, apart from the experience, is a worldwide network of extremely qualified suppliers that they know their job incredibly well. So we maximize success and we minimize fiascos and mistakes, which in marketing tends to happen quite often. So we're not consultants. And to answer your question about how the idea originated, I always wanted to have my own business. And now it sounds strange because I've been waiting for 30 years to have it. But, you know, it's like when you're going to get married and you never know when you are going to get married. Sometimes you get married soon, sometimes you don't get married ever. So in this case, it was just the right time and the right opportunity to have my own business. And I was fortunate enough to have my own business with people that I do trust, respect, and admire as well. And I have a lot of joy working with, which is a luxury. So, you know, it was the right time.
Right, right. And going back to your career, I mean, you've spanned, you know, over 30 years working in the field with all sorts of global companies. How has that translated now that you own your own business? Which skills in particular have you brought on board with you?
Yeah, I can tell you a couple of anecdotes, which are funny. When I opened the business, I started getting calls from different places from around the world. And I remember one day I was having dinner with my parents at home. And they said, well, Javier, and now we're very happy because you're back to London. And then eventually we're going to be closer to you. You're going to be able to come here more often and have dinner and blah, 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 because you're not going to be traveling so much. So, well, I have bad news. My next client is in Singapore, and I'm going to be promoting the book in Latin America. So, you know, the thing that happened when you've been working in so many places is that probably you see the word more flat or flatter than other people. I mean, I frankly don't mind, you know, helping people on the other side of the world if that requires me to be there for a week or so and roll up my sleeves. I mean, I don't see the physical boundaries as many other people that didn't have the chance to work abroad have. But apart from that, business as usual.
Business as usual. Okay. So what kind of clients do you work with? Is there any particular field or kind of manager that...
We like to work. I'll try to explain what is our philosophy. We want to work with one client per sector. So a bank, a car manufacturer, a food manufacturer, a luxury brand, and so on and so forth. And we're very careful choosing with the people we want to work with. I mean, first of all, we want to have people that have problems, that they're in trouble for whatever reason. If you have a problem to solve and the intellectual challenge and the enjoyment that you get by doing it is much greater than if you're just helping a company that is doing great to do greater. So that's number one. Second, we also are very choosy about the people we work for. We want to work for nice people. People that are open-minded, that they buy into new ideas, that they are genuine about making a change in the companies that they operate. People that they have passion for what they do. So if you take these three boxes, I mean, a company per category or per sector, then a company that is eventually doing something that is not right in the marketing environment, and a nice team with a nice leader. I mean, we've selected a few companies we're working with right now. Swiss Bank, couple of food manufacturers on different sectors of the food manufacturing, a service company as well, an educational company, and so on and so forth. Our priority is not to increase the number of clients, is to make sure that the clients are very happy and that we also continue developing our technology and our way of operating.
That's fascinating, and you've given us a lot of interesting insight into the culture that you guys take when doing your work and the pride that you take into it. But have you encountered any difficulties along the way so far?
Silence. I wouldn't call difficulties, but one of the jobs that we do explain people what they are doing wrong. Right.
That's always a bit of an awkward conversation, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's like a doctor when you see somebody and say, oh, by the way, I think you're doing this wrong, and then you have this disease, and the hip doesn't work as they should, and probably you need to look at the lungs and blah, blah, blah. So we provide a very clear diagnosis to people. And obviously, people call because they have problems and they don't feel well. But from the company point of view, of course. But when you tell them what they really have, some of them are just, you know, looking at you with the eyes pumping out of the, just out of the face. Like they don't know how sick or how far they could have gone if they have chosen the right path. And in marketing, there is huge differences between the type of marketing that that companies do. I'm not just talking in terms of quality or depth. I'm just talking even about knowledge. A few companies that are just operated by entrepreneurial people, they just self-taught about marketing. And when you tell them that what you're doing is just terribly wrong, you're doing marketing for your competitors without even knowing, and then you explain them why, they kind of almost faint, right? So you need to explain to them what they need to do and how they need to re-engineer their marketing. And that's some sort of difficult as well. I mean, it's not an easy task to do, to explain people what they are doing wrong, because I mean, they start with thinking that they have a small problem, and then suddenly they realize that they have a bigger problem to solve. That is a difficulty, but you know, at the same time, I guess it's part of the job of a doctor if you want to.
It has to be done, absolutely. So my last question is one regarding some tips and tricks for our audience, since a lot of the people that will be listening to this podcast will maybe have had the idea of starting their own venture, having their own business. So what tips do you have for anyone starting their own venture?
Yeah, you're asking the question to the wrong person. I mean, or probably you should be asking me that in 5 years. If I succeed and the team is happy what we're doing, then I will probably be in a better position to give some tips. And if I don't, it will probably be better. I will tell you what not to do. So far, I guess what I mentioned at the beginning is probably the recipe that works best for me, which is make sure that you craft a business model that add value to people. That is of extreme importance. Adding value means the ability to make things better, meaning that the other side is getting a higher, superior benefit of what they are paying to you. If you don't do that, it's going to be very difficult and very complicated that long-term your business survives. And you have to be extremely tough, analytical, and have a brutal honest about the type of added value that your business is bringing. And I'm not just talking about 10%. I'm talking about a multiple of 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times what you are charging for your
services.
Loads
of 10%.
Sorry?
Loads of 10%, basically.
Lots of 10%. Okay. So if you're charging 5%, you should be able to provide a benefit of 20 or 30 or 50,
right,
or 100 eventually. Don't be greedy. If you go for 10%, I mean, you are going to have a much tougher time of making your business successful. And the second thing is make sure that you have fun, because even though you may get money, if you're not getting fun, you are going to get bored, and people will see it, and then your value will decrease over time. And blah, 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 blah. So add value, have fun, the rest will come.
Great advice. And where do you see Topline in 5 years, as you mentioned?
I have no idea. I mean, I sometimes get to the bed and put the shit close to my head and think a bit about it. But if you ask me about, for instance, having 3,000 employees and providing services to 1,000 companies and then have kind of a sort of leadership role in a large board, I don't think that is what I want. I rather prefer to have 20 happy customers, 25 happy customers that we can really transform their business and see how they thrive than the other way around. So fewer happy customers that are benefiting from the work we are doing, and that will probably make us, me and my partners, very happy.
Quality over quantity, always.
Yeah.
And with that, I would like to thank you for joining us once again here in the studio, Javier. It was a pleasure having you. And if anyone wants to find out more about Topline, Javier and his team's work, you can always follow the links below. And if you would like to find more about marketing, of course, we'll be providing the links to the book as well. And all other relevant links to Lit Publishing will also be included in the description. Thank you very much for joining us. We hope this podcast has been of great use to you, our listeners. And we hope to see you next time on Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. Thank you, Javier.
Thank you, Miro, and thank you, Lit.